And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
Because you and I are like a mullet. Sid is the business, so he's the front part of the haircut, and then I'm the party in the back.
I think they're hilarious.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to I'll Find the Mute Button in a Minute. Welcome to another episode of Creating Daily. Today's show is going to be fantastic. I got my friend Katie Brinkley on as my co-host for Tuesdays. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff, from Elon Musk buying Twitter to how do you engage with your social media audience better, all those fun things. Maybe even catch up a little bit, see what she's been up to. I haven't talked to her in a while, probably since last week, so that's always good. But anyway, so I'm excited for a good show, but I want to remind you, anytime if you have a question, put a Q colon in the chat if you're listening or watching over on YouTube. And then if you're on Bullhorn, there's a question section there. Or if you just want to say hi, there's a chat section there as well. And be sure to hit that subscribe button, wherever that's at. Oh, there it is. Not right there. You can't push it right there. As always, I don't even know why I put it on the screen, but hit that subscribe button next to it. Hit that share button. Follow. If you're listening to the podcast, follow the podcast, whatever. That's how you can support us as we're creating this daily show to help you as a content creator create better content, different tools, tips, techniques, all that kind of fun stuff. So got a great show lined up for you today. And without further ado, I'm going to bring my friend Katie Brinkley. What's going on, Katie? I don't have her in the screen, but what's going on, Katie? I can still hear you and I can fix this.
Well, hey, yeah, there I am.
There we go.
How's it going?
It's going good.
There's like two of me on the screen. It's extremely confusing. I need to change my, there we go.
That's funny. Yeah. Always something in live streaming. You know, you're like, I got this, I'm ready. It's solid. And then something goes wrong. Just part of it.
Yeah, it's part of the fun of going live. I mean, and I think that, Billy, this is one of the reasons why when you said you were doing the show and I was like, I kind of want to get in on this because I feel less stressed about going live than I do. Good Lord, it took me an hour to do a 14-second reel and there's not even transitions or anything in it. It's just because I was like, oh, I don't like the way I sound. Oh, my background's weird. But when you go live, I feel like it's less stress. I mean, yeah. People expect the ahs, the ums, and the, you know, awkward double mirroring of the screen.
Yeah, exactly. Like I always tell people that because they're like, oh man, you do a daily live show. That must be so hard. I'm like, man, I think it's easier because I just have to show up. Like I said, I'm going to be here. So I just have to be here. And, you know, if I have a podcast recording, like if I just sat here and record a podcast with no video, whatever, no live, it would take me 50 times to record it. I jump on here and I'm like, all right, here we go. Be a big goof and flub it all up. It's just what you're going to do. So, but it's good to see you. It's good to have you back on. Exciting week. My wife and I, we've just been getting ready. We're about to move back to North Carolina in like a month exactly this week. So
yeah,
we're super excited about that. So we've just been cleaning up and remembering all the stuff we forgot of how to move to a different country or territory or whatever we're doing. So.
Well, and Billy, I think that the thing that's so cool about social media is you and I have never met in real life, but we see each other around the streets, or so to say. Like I'll see a Facebook post and then I'll see an Instagram story, or then, you know, there he is on Clubhouse hosting a room. But I said to you before we hit record here, I'm like, man, it feels like it forever since I've like seen you.
I know.
And you're like, well, it's because I've been getting ready to move. But that's the thing I love about social media is you can make these amazing relationships and friendships with people that you have never really met in real life.
Yeah. And just from being social, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know this, but I got some blue light glasses.
Oh, are we wearing the blue light glasses today?
Okay. My wife has ordered some and I'm like, wait, what do these do anyway? Am I supposed to wear these?
Don't we look cool?
Especially when I look up at the lights. I should bring my circle light down a little closer to my face. It'll look better. But anyway.
Yeah, for everyone watching us on the YouTube.
I'm your host, Clark Kent.
We look amazing.
Super streamer.
Welcome.
Yeah, right?
We are smart.
Yeah, she handed me those. I'm like, what am I going to do with those? I guess I'm going to wear them when I'm working and editing stuff. But who knows?
I do have to say it's a game changer, Billy. Even though we're being silly with it. It has helped me with my headaches, with my migraines. I do feel like towards the end of the day, I'm looking cross-eyed. But when I wear my blue light glasses, I can just shut down and head on home and sleep well at night.
We need a Blue Light Glass sponsor, please. If you're listening to this, yep. You know anything about Blue Light Glasses or you own a company, send us a few pair. We'll wear them. Are you sponsored yes. by those guys?
No, I wish I were. Heads up, Felix Gray. I want to be sponsored.
Felix Gray, let's go. Send us some glasses and some money. We don't do stuff for free. Anyway, no trade deals here because we're like Elon Musk and we just do cash deals only. So let's jump over to our little news segment. I can't not push this button.
That's news to me.
Creating Daily. All right, I won't keep this on the screen forever, but Katie, this is pretty wild that Elon Musk bought Twitter yesterday for $44 billion or 45. I've seen all kinds. I'm not a newscaster. I've seen all kinds of numbers out here.
Well, there's a B in it, and it's double-digit Bs that he bought Twitter for. And I feel like a lot of throughout the industry is kind of like, why? Nobody really knows why he did it other than the fact that he had the money to do it.
Just because he can, I guess. I want to know, like, was this like, hey, I'm going to go to my piggy bank or I'm going to go to the ATM and get $44 billion? Or was this like, I'm going to finance this or what? I don't
know. Probably. I mean, the guy has so much money. He probably just took it out of his rocket building fund and moved it over to like, you know, on a whim investments. And this was it. I mean, well, so this is the thing. For those of you who have not been on Twitter since, you know, 2008, it's still around. And it's different. It's a completely different type of platform than Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. And while it still is, it's been around a very long time, it's trailing, you know, even TikTok, which is a new platform, because people are like, well, what, all you do is just say things.
Yeah.
But it's definitely gotten a whole new life since social audio and since, NFTs in Bitcoin came out. That's kind of the new hangout for that Web3 conversation. And if you remember, Billy, about 18 months ago, Twitter did put in a buy for Clubhouse. And I really just wonder what Clubhouse and Twitter would have been like if that would have gone through. Because like you just said, like you haven't been on Twitter.
Yeah.
You would have been on Twitter because you were an active Clubhouse user.
Yeah, exactly. Like I have a Twitter account. I think it's updated for the most part. And I was actually live streaming over there when I first started the show. I was live streaming a lot of places and kind of narrowed it down to Bullhorn and YouTube. But even now I'm like, all right, Elon Musk bought it. Like now I'm going to buy it. Now I'm going to go over there and see, you know, maybe not in the next couple of weeks, but in the next few months to see what kind of changes are there. Because he's talking, and I don't even know if this guy knows, you know, I watch a lot of interviews with him. Because I think he's an alien from another planet, which makes me very curious. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. This guy's interesting. Does a lot of weird, cool stuff. Has a lot of theories that, you know, I just find him to be a very interesting person. And so, you know, it looks like the big push here was like free speech. So it's like, okay, if these platforms are going to try to control people's free speech, I'm just going to take over the platform. And I guess he was going to do it anyway through like his stock investment, like, he owned a pretty good portion, so maybe he was going to force his hand to buy that company anyhow. So that looks like something he'll do. I think there's like no ads, which I don't know how you make any money if you don't have brand sponsored deals. Maybe
on Twitter, there's ads.
Well, there's not going to be. He said he's going to take it away.
Yeah, well, and this is the thing. So right now there's Twitter Blue, which is a paid version of Twitter. It's like $3 a month. I have it. Because I don't want to see ads and I get
different. So is that all it does? It just takes the ads away?
It takes ads away. You get to have, if you are into NFTs at all, you can upload your NFT and people can learn about it. So again, going back this is the reason why I think it makes sense for Elon to buy it is because it's really stood out as that Web3 space. And when you think of futuristic thinking, Elon Musk is almost always a part of the conversation. And while Twitter, you know, he says he wants to bring back free speech and everything, I think a lot of the draw for him was the fact that there's such an active community in the Web3 space. And so it's kind of like, okay, I can see what people are saying. I can be a part of it and I can really kind of help move the narrative into this new technology with the Twitter base. I mean, that's, I mean, no one, if you're asking me, that's what makes sense to me as to why this made sense to him. In addition to the free speech stuff.
That's a pretty good, you know, and I didn't even think about that when I was thinking about what is Twitter now, which you're right. It is that conversation place for NFTs and all that kind of stuff. And then I guess the membership thing, I mean, I guess the amount of people on that platform and I read an article, I can't remember where it was from, but they were saying, you know, if like half the people subscribed, which is still a lot of people, to $3 a month, like I think it would still only bring in like $3 or $4 billion a year, and it probably needs like $5 to $7 billion to operate. So I'm like, this guy literally just went and made an investment in a company that's already losing money, but he's smart. He's smart. So it's really interesting to see what he'll do. I'd be very curious to see if there's like an NFT marketplace that opens up on Twitter, kind of like OpenSea or maybe he buys OpenSea or something like that. Yeah. I'm just saying OpenSea as an example. So yeah, that would be a very interesting acquisition that he just made, which everyone's talking about it. I haven't been in the clubhouse rooms, but there's like 500 people in every Elon Musk bought Twitter room. So yeah. I haven't really been in there to hear what the average person's saying.
It's a big deal. Because he has a lot of money, and just bought a social media network. And now it seems like three of the richest men in America own all the social media channels, with the exception of TikTok. So, I mean, Bill Gates has LinkedIn, Mark Zuckerberg has Facebook and Instagram, and now Elon Musk has Twitter. I mean, it kind of stinks that another rich white guy, is controlling how we all communicate with each other.
True.
But, I think out of anyone to just come in and change the landscape of Twitter and say, I'm just going to buy it. Elon Musk buying Twitter makes a lot of sense to me just with the way that Twitter has evolved over the past 6 months.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that makes sense. So we'll see what happens. I wonder if we'll see Donald Trump back on there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
well, that's what they're saying. It's right? Like, okay, if you want free speech, then can Donald Trump come back? Because he's been banned from Twitter for having hate speech and stuff. So, I mean, we tend to think a lot of this stuff just from a U.S. Centric kind of mindset, but I mean, anyone in the world can be on Twitter and on these social media platforms. So how is it going to be free speech for people in other countries where there is censorship? It's really interesting to see what he does with it, or if it's just going to be like, oh, I didn't know I couldn't do that, or I'm going to do it anyways, or what will happen. But Twitter Blue is a cool little membership thing. Like I said, there's no ads. You get like a curated feed. It just has some extra features. And for $3, I'm like, meh, it's cheaper than a cup of coffee. So and it's something that I use every day.
True. Yeah. I got to get back on there. I got to fire up my Twitter game. There's so many places I got to be. I'm just not going to be. I don't know. We'll see. I think I like the idea of Twitter. I just need somebody to teach me how to use it, because I get so confused about, you know, like what's a retweet, what's a reply, what's a comment.
It is an entirely different way of social media. I mean, especially between like Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, because that's pushing out maybe 1 to 5 posts a week, where Twitter, you need to be doing like 6 tweets a day. And it's like, well, what all do I have to say? Yeah. And you know, it's just a different strategy. It's a whole different animal.
Yeah, that's true. That's good. And I want to say hello to Knee in the chat here. He is fired up. Says no more wokeness on Twitter. And then he says Twitter's owned by a white African. Yeah, I guess Elon Musk is from Africa, like South Africa. So pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, good for him, man. Like maybe he'll turn into a spaceship. That's what we just need more spaceships, Elon. All right. We'll see. All right. So let's jump over to Creator High. I like that we're spending a little more time on these front segments, because when I do these solo, I'm like, blah, 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 and I go flying through them. So it's kind of nice to kind of vent a little bit about Elon Musk. And yeah, $44 billion. I'm like, wow, that guy's playing a different game change. Than I'm playing.
It's just simple pocket change. Sure. I'll just buy Twitter.
Sure. Yeah. I'm like, who? Now I wonder what other egotistical dude's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to buy another platform. Just because you know what? I think a bunch of people are running back to Twitter now. Like I see this on other social media platforms. Everyone's like, oh, I've not been on Twitter in 20 years. I'm going to come back. And then maybe if he locks it up for $3 a month, that will create some revenue for him if he takes ads away. We'll see what happens. So interesting. All right, let's jump over to a little creator highlight here.
Creator highlights.
No cooking necessary. No assembly required.
It's got to be funky.
All right, today's creator highlight is brought to you by our friends over at OneSheet Pro. You can go to onesheet.pro/BillyThorpe or onesheet.pro/Katie-Brinkley, and you can go check out our OneSheet pages. This is basically like a OneSheet in beast mode. It's awesome, so go check it out. And they just did a new feature, Katie. I don't know if you're using this feature or not with the interview, like a guest of applications. Have you been using that one yet for your podcast?
I haven't. I need to go in there and spend a little bit more time updating my OneSheet.pro. I mean, it's I tell all of my clients about it because it is such an easy way to get more opportunities for yourself on, yeah, on other people's shows. But like you said, if someone were to send me a OneSheet like this, I'd be like, okay, they got their stuff together. Yeah, let's just move them up to the front of the line. I know they're going to show up prepared because look at what they've done.
Yeah, you think that about me until you see me holding a big taco, and then you're like, what the heck is this guy's problem? All right, Katie, so take us into the creator highlight. This is chosen by Katie Brinkley, so I'm excited to learn more about this podcast and this guy, Vince.
Yeah, so this is Vince Warnock. I've had the opportunity to be a guest on his podcast. He's come on my podcast too, and he is just a wealth of knowledge. He's the author of numerous books. He's spoken on stages all over the world, and he was chosen as one of Adobe's top 50 marketers. So guy knows his stuff. He's also, it's an honor to be working on an NFT project with him.
Oh,
so
very cool.
Check him out. He is a marketing genius, sales genius. And if you're looking to author a book, he's your guy. So check out Chasing the Insights and level up your marketing knowledge and check out Vince.
Heck yeah, that sounds awesome. And Katie made the introduction, so he'll be on the show shortly. Hopefully. Yay. Hopefully shortly. I don't know his schedule. Maybe I'm speaking too far in advance here. But he'll be we got the introduction today, so hopefully we can schedule him out and come on the show and share some of that knowledge. But right now, Katie, I want to jump over and start talking about social media engagement strategies. This is something that I have been really good at times, and really horrible at other times. So what is social engagement strategy? Like, what does that even mean? What does engagement mean on social media?
It means being social on social media.
Wait a minute.
I know. Well, and this is interesting to me because to have this conversation with you, because you're such a creator, Billy, and you have a daily show you create. You're creating content for people to consume, but not all of us are like that. And I think that that's where a lot of times when people approach social media, they're like, social media doesn't work for me. You know, I posted a photo and nobody commented on it, but it's such a two-way street. If you want to get engagement on your posts and you want to get more followers, you want to get more business, more leads. I mean, that's what we're all about. You have to be social on these platforms. You have to engage with other accounts. And I will tell you, I only post two, three, four times a week on average. And I can show up and still have new followers, new conversations, and new comments because I engage daily. And when I'm saying engage, I'm commenting on other people's posts. So without going too far down the rabbit hole of how to engage the right way, you should be engaging with people who comment on your post. So if someone, Billy, if you leave a comment on my post, I am going to answer you back on that post. And that's one of the first and the biggest mistakes I see a lot of accounts making.
Yeah, true.
Someone's left you a comment. They've got both thumbs going. You should answer them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You know, cause I think I was guilty of this for a long time of posting and ghosting, I guess is what people call it. And I would do that. I'd post something, people comment on it. I would look at the comment. Maybe I would hit the little heart button, you know, to say like, hey, thanks for commenting or whatever, but I wouldn't say anything back. And I wouldn't create that, you know, that conversation, I guess, in the chat area. So creating this conversation, does it actually help the algorithm of, as far as
it
we
does.
Know, to say, hey, this is relevant. We're going to deliver it up to some more people.
It does. Yes, exactly. So comment. So there in the algorithm, you know, there's different ranks, you know, saves and shares are great because they send, that means other people are sending your content out into their network. So that's a great way to get more eyes on your posts and on what you do. But comments are phenomenal because you, if you can get someone commenting and you comment back with another question and they answer and you put that's all going to help you in the algorithm, because Instagram's like, look at all the people that are liking this and commenting and engaging and spending time on this post. That's what all these social media platforms want from you.
Yeah.
Stay on me as long as possible so I can continue getting your data.
Okay, that makes sense. And I have a friend of mine who does this. He's a podcaster. He actually doesn't have that big of an Instagram account, but he has a super vibrant business. And I asked him one time, I was like, dude, how are you doing this? Like, how are you gaining leads? And he's like, dude, I'm just on social media all the time. And I'm like, no, you're not. Like, you never post anything. You have a small following, but somehow you're still crushing it. And this is his thing. It's called targeted daily engagement. I think he calls it TDE. And he is spending like 10 or 15 minutes a day just really going in and finding accounts that are the right fit for his business.
Exactly.
And engaging with them. So
yeah,
that's pretty interesting.
The another term for it is the $1.80 method, where you give 90 people your 2 cents.
Oh, 90 people your 2 cents. All right. That's cool. Yeah.
So, there's, like I said, commenting on people that comment on your posts, that's a great way to help your posts do well. But like I said, last week I only had time for 2 posts. It was a super busy week. End of the month is always busy for me for my done for you clients. I also was onboarding 2 coaching clients. So it was just a super busy week, but I still was engaging every day. And I was answering people who had commented on my posts. But what I do is I go in to my feed and I comment on the people that I follow. So I spend about 5 minutes in the feed just commenting on everyone that I follow's posts, scrolling through, leave a comment, next one, leave a comment, next one, leave a comment. But then the magic happens in the hashtags. And this is a great, full circle to what we were talking about last week. Yeah. And so I do a lot of coaching. In group coaching for real estate agents. So I spend a lot of time hanging out in the hashtag Realtor Life or Denver Real Estate, Denver Realtor. I spend a lot of time commenting on those posts. So when I'm commenting on their posts, one, it's done, it's kind of a pay it forward. Mm-hmm. It's getting them higher ranking in the algorithm because people are commenting and having conversations, but it's also free real estate on their feed. So if I show up and I leave a very valuable comment asking a question or making a valid point, they're going to say like, who is I Am Katie Brinkley?
Yeah.
Now they're over on my account. They can see the recent posts that I've done, the advice that I give, the silly reels or whatever, and decide whether or not they want to follow me. A lot of times they'll just come on over and like some of my posts, which what in return boosts me in the algorithm. So commenting on other people's posts is a great way to get more eyes on you and your product.
Okay. This is good. So go find people. And does it have to be in your niche? I guess maybe if it's in your niche or your niche, is that
if you want more sales, but
yeah, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I'm not going to say we're all after that, but even if we are a podcaster and we're looking to expand our reach, our brand, maybe somebody will go, oh, this guy podcasts about, whatever, like dog training. And I like dog training. So, okay. That makes sense.
So, and you'll want to spend time in the recent posts. So if you go to a hashtag and you do, we'll just do a hashtag
right now. I'm doing it right now. I want to see the results of this.
Yeah.
Thing.
So just do, podcast coach or not even podcast coach, new podcast, because people probably with a new podcast, could use some Billy Thorpe help in their lives. So if you do hashtag, new podcast, don't look at the top posts in the hashtag because those people get enough love. They're hanging out there. They've probably been there for, hours, maybe days, months. Go to the recent, and that's where you're going to want to start engaging.
Oh, okay. So there's three, hold on a second. I got to, Oh, I can't plug it in. Never mind. Okay. I should have been more prepared. I was getting ready to impromptu put this.
It's okay. It's your first day.
It's my first day doing live streams. There's no way I should ever be prepared. All right. So there's three different tabs for people who don't know. There's left, right, and center. And I'm going to do center for recent for anybody that's listening. So go to recent posts and then start engaging with those posts.
Yes.
I mean, I'm gonna be real, you know, people are gonna be like, we're never listening to your show again, but I didn't even know this was like a thing. I didn't know recent was
you'll
want
to do it from desktop, otherwise you will lose an hour of your life. Sure. You know, using it with two thumbs, trying to leave all these comments versus, you know, all 10.
All right, that's a good tip. That's
makes
good
a
tip.
Big difference.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So you can still do it from desktop and don't go all in on 90 comments right out the gate, because Instagram is going to be like, who do you think you are? You are not this active on our platform and you must be a bot. So you are banned.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So go in easy. Don't come in hot with this stuff.
All right. So, and how long does it take you now that you've kind of built up to these 90 comments or so, how long do you think you spend a day or whenever you do it, like an hour? 2 hours?
Well, it depends how fast you type. But I mean, like, you don't, some posts, you know, when someone doesn't have a very good caption or it's just kind of a mediocre image, you can just say, oh, I love this. You know, okay. there's plenty of times where I'm not going to be leaving a comment for a sale necessarily. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm giving them the love. I'm giving them the comment, helping them in the algorithm. I'm, you know, showing up there. And again, some of these people that use those hashtags all the time, you'll start seeing their content on a regular basis, even if you're not following them. And they'll start seeing like, oh, look, here's Katie commenting on my stuff again. That's so nice of her, you know? So.
All right. Yeah, this is good. I'm going to check out the desktop too, because I always like working from there versus I never get on Instagram on my desktop. I got so much to learn. Katie, this show is just for me every Tuesday, basically. Like, I'm teaching Billy. If we should call it, like, teaching Billy social media, like, because I learn so much stuff every time I get on the phone. So that's how you are jumping into other people's stuff. So if one, comment on your own stuff. You post something. Somebody says, man, this is awesome. Go back in there and comment. Now, I've heard through the grapevine that you should leave a certain amount of words for comments, not just, like, thumbs up emojis and all that. Does that matter? Like,
the
is there...
love of everything. Please stop with the three fire, the three heart, the three anything emojis. Say it again. Stop. That is not valuable conversation. It's not how you're going to gain new leads. It's not how you're going to gain new followers. It's not how you're going to build community.
Love that.
Let's just stop with the three emoji responses, please.
All right. I got to call my VA. Stop doing the three emojis. I don't have a VA. I need one. If you're listening, reach out to me. Okay. So leave quality comments. If you're going to do all the work, if you're going to go search through all the recent posts, leave quality comments, really try to start a conversation. I mean, that's what we're essentially saying. It's like, start this conversation.
Yeah. Be social on it.
Now, so that is comments.
Well, and Billy, I just want to say really fast too. This is platform agnostic strategies. We keep saying Instagram here, but this anything. Works on LinkedIn. This okay. works on Facebook. You know, the hashtags work on these other platforms as well. So these are very easy strategies that you, if Instagram's not your jam, you can still do these strategies on Facebook or LinkedIn.
Yeah, this is good. I like this. And I guess, like, let me ask you this question. So if you're going across platform
or Twitter.
Oh yeah, Twitter. Definitely everybody go sign up for Twitter. So if you're going to if you're doing like cross platforms, you're doing Twitter, you're doing Facebook, you're doing Instagram, whatever. Do you think it's best as a brand, like you show up as Katie Brinkley and you try to get that same handle across the board? Because I know sometimes, like, I had to do this recently. I was like, wait a second, I got Creating for Money, I got Creating Daily, I got a fishing show. Like, I do a lot of stuff. I'm like, nobody's going to look for that stuff. Like, I got to have Billy Thorpe, and that's an Australian rock star, so there's no way I'm getting, you know, there's a lot of Billy Thorpes out there. And so I had to put, like, the Billy Thorpe, which sounds so egotistical, but it was the only thing that worked on Twitter and on Instagram. And I think Facebook is just, like, Billy.Thorpe or something. I can't remember. But so is it, how important is that, or is it just how you brand? Like, what's your strategy there? Are you trying to get your clients and yourself all lined up across the board?
I mean, that is a whole other conversation for sure. Because
whole other episode, writing it down.
No, yeah. Well, and I mean, like, and this is the thing. If you do Instagram.com/Katie Brinkley, you will be directed to a page where there's a Katie Brinkley. There she has one follower, zero posts, and she follows zero people. She doesn't even have an avatar. So, you know, honestly, it could have been me. I could be that same Katie Brinkley, and I could have signed up for Instagram, you know, back when it launched and I lost the email. But whoever that person is, that's done nothing with it. It drives me bonkers. So I have Katie Brinkley on Instagram.
Oh, I should have thought about I am Billy Thorpe. That would have been better than the Billy Thorpe.
Well, the reason I went with I am Katie Brinkley is because I do, like you, I do a lot of podcasting. I do a lot of social audio. And whenever I introduce myself, I say, I'm Katie Brinkley. And I was like, it just seems better and fits me a little bit more than the.
Maybe the Billy Thorpe. Maybe that does fit my personality.
I think it kind of does, Billy. But
oh, man. Oh, gosh, that's too funny. I had a question for you, but I forgot what it was.
It was, should you be the same on all the platforms?
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, when you are, so like if you Google Katie Brinkley, even though I own the domain, katiebrinkley.com, the very first thing that pops up is my LinkedIn. So if you're spending time on these social platforms, it makes sense to use your name, and especially if you're a speaker, a coach, you do have a personal brand. It makes a lot of sense to use your name whenever you can. Now, if you're Nike and you're the CEO of Nike, you know, you should stick with Nike. But for most of us, our businesses are not household names yet. So
yeah,
keep that in mind.
That's true. That's a good point. So we talked about commenting on our stuff, commenting on other people's stuff, but there's all kinds of ways to have conversations on. And I'm saying Instagram because that's where I kind of hang out the most besides doing live stuff and podcasting. But what about like DMs? Like, is that like something you focus on, like actually having those one-on-one conversations, or when does that come in? Does that help at all?
Yeah. So DMs is where the magic happens. And that's where, you know, the sales happen. And there's a lot of times where I will be in a DM conversation where I think it's a sales call for me, or like a conversation more like, this person's a good lead, and it's the other way around. I'm a good lead for them. So, but it doesn't happen until you get into those one-on-one conversations. Now, seeing someone post and sliding into their DMs right afterwards, it's a little fast. It's a little forward. I think that you need to take your time and get to know somebody a little bit before you just slide right on into their DMs. Or if you are, tell them why. Why are you there? Hey, I just watched the latest episode of Creating Daily, and I loved the tip that you shared, Billy, about blank. And can you remind me as to where I can go to find that or information? And then you'll chime on in or whatever. So think about your conversations that are in the DM. You wouldn't, I feel like I use this analogy all the time, but it's so true. You wouldn't go to a networking event, walk up to someone and throw your business card at them and then take off and be like, well, hopefully they call, you
business
know,
business card, Katie, would... that's weak. I should throw an invoice at them. Like, what's the name of your company? And I write on the invoice and hand it to them. That's how I do sales. Forget all this mamsy pamsy building relationship stuff. I just invoice. No, I'm just messing. That would be funny. I'm going to actually do that. I'm going to go to a conference with a bunch of printed invoices and be like, what's the name of your company? And just record it and create. That's funny. Anyway, that's one of my show ideas. There we go.
But you wouldn't do that if you want to grow your business.
Not. Absolutely not. Yeah. But people do. I mean, people send me a message all day, every day. Hey, I saw your social media post. Like, you're creating great content. I think I can build you to like 20,000 followers. It's $100. I'm like, whoa, man. Like, hold on. You didn't take me out on a date. You didn't even text me or anything.
I know.
What are we doing? So yeah, it does feel weird.
So I mean, like, nurture those relationships that you're having in the comments. And, you know, one of my favorite CTAs on reels or posts is DM or comment with blank below for the link or for more information.
Okay. That's good. So
on one of my posts that I did recently, I said, you know, drop a, you know, the hand raise emoji below, if you agree, or if you've ever struggled with using a social media scheduler. And everyone that dropped that emoji or commented like, yes, I've been struggling. I then commented back and said, I'm happy to talk to you about the one that I use. And then I slid into their DMs because they've already opened the door for conversation with me. Like, yeah, I struggle with this. Or, oh, I'm looking for something that you're offering. Or yes, send me the link to your free webinar. So when you have that CTA, you basically get the permission to send a cold DM based on what their comment was. And let's say you have only five people comment that they want link. That's five people that you can now send the link to, and you can start nurturing that relationship and talking to them. And they might not actually click the link, but they start talking with you. And then they see, oh, well, you do this, or I do this. And you can see where the relationships and the conversation goes from there.
Yeah, that's a good tip. And I think too, like, for people who are listening, in the default thing that I talk to people all the time about sales, I help people monetize their podcasts, their sponsorships and other stuff. And it's always like, I don't want to be too salesy. More than likely, people have been following you for a minute. They've been watching you. You've been building value. If you're doing social media the way that I personally think you should do it, you're probably building value already. And so that's, when they say, yeah, send this to me or reach out or whatever, it's not really being salesy. It's just continuing the conversation. And, I know a lot of people won't jump into DMs because they're like, no, it's just too salesy. I don't want to do it. Like, they need to reach out to me. And I'm like, yeah, man, that's like me saying somebody needs to make me a donut and sell it for me and give me the money. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, what are you talking about? So,
yeah.
So don't be afraid if you're listening to this and you're like, I just don't want to do that. That feels weird. It's not. Like, these people have probably already engaged. It's similar to a podcast host. Like, I always say this, like, if, Tom Buck, which is a YouTuber and a podcaster, walked into my house right now, I would feel like I know him. I would say, oh, hey, Tom, what's up, man? You want a cup of coffee? Like, you want to sit down? Like, what's up? And if he said, hey, I got this, YouTube course I want to try to talk to you about it. But cool, let's have a cup of coffee and talk about it. So keep that in mind. That's probably what people are doing. So we got DMs. What about voice drops? This is one of my favorite ways to get
in touch.
I'm going
to sit on the other side of the fence here with you.
All right.
I struggle with voice messages, and my co-host on my Across the Pond NFL podcast, he sends them to me all day.
Good for you, James.
And yep, I know, James, man, come on. I can't handle the voice messages. A lot of people love them. It does, similar with podcasting and social audio, there is power behind voice and hearing someone talk and just having that quick conversation. But for me, most of the time I'm listening to music other things going on, as opposed to just sitting there and listening to your voice message. Like, I just want to read what you have to say. I can respond back really fast and then get on. Voice messages are just hard for me, but I know that they are a nurture builder for sure.
Well, and I don't know that, because I'm like you, ongoing voice messages are fairly annoying to me. I wasn't like that. I used to really enjoy them, but then I was like, now I have a 3-year-old who talks way more than he did at one. So now it's like, okay, I can't really listen to this. But it's like one of those things where I think opening the door is you send the voicemail, there's this little bubble with a play button, and you're just like, I mean, I cannot resist to push that button and listen to that first message. However, I guess if the world was perfect, people would text to me, I would send them a voicemail and they would text back to me. That would be perfect. Or maybe LinkedIn, if you're listening, Instagram, I know you are because you listen to the show because it's so important, but maybe put a little transcribe thing there. That would be cool. It's like a quick.
Well, I mean, you could do the voice to text on Siri, I guess, if you really wanted to.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could do that. Wait, does it translate from voice to text?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like if you
How am I techie and I don't know all this techie stuff? It's ridiculous. I feel like a 90-year-old man.
Yeah. I mean, like, so it's one way that you could do it.
You're saying like record the voice to text, like to send the message versus getting it to read it. Like, you're not having Siri translate it into.
Yes. Yes. So like in your little keyboard thing at the bottom, there's a little microphone. And that's the voice to text.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, and, so, but it doesn't work the other way, right? It doesn't transcribe.
No, when James leaves me a 3-minute voice message, no, I have to sit there and listen to 3 minutes of him.
That's what I was wondering. That's what I thought you were saying. I was like, holy cow, that's awesome. Like, show me how to do it.
No.
Oh, anyway. All right. So I'll get us back on the topic since I got us off the topic. All right. So maybe we're 50-50 on the voice drops. I think it's a cool introduction, but maybe not annoy people. That's good. And maybe even in the voice drop, say, hey, by the way, if you prefer for me to text you versus voicemail, like, let me know. And maybe that would be a considerate question if you're, because I'm like, for the intro, man, I love voice drops. Like, I invite people to the show all the time just because I want them to hear the passion in my voice of what I'm excited to talk to them about later.
Yeah. And you know, to each their own, like it really is. I think that voice messages are a great, you know, like I said before, relationship builder. And it's hearing someone talk. It's like, oh man, they're talking to me. But for me and the way that I do business and live my life, like text message is my, which is interesting because I love talking. You know,
so maybe if people talk to you, you can voice message them. They'll text back. Yeah, that's perfect.
There we go.
That's the best world. All right. So we talked about some DMs, we talked about some comments, some voice drops. What about like poll? I mean, I know there's all kinds of little stickers on, and I'm talking about Instagram once again, multiple companies have different things, but like polls and Q&As, like, have you seen that stuff to really like light up that engagement to take it to another level in your business?
Yeah, I think that you should try and include some sort of engagement sticker with at least one story a day. Whether it's just the slider, or if you are doing a poll. I mean, doing polls was how I decided on my podcast cover art. And it boosted me to the front of a lot of people's stories for a while. And that's what I was like, okay, well, my story reach has been down. I'm only getting like 30 people viewing my stories. I must be like swipeable down on people's priorities. How can I get myself back to the front of the line? And it was by letting them choose my podcast cover art. And I was able to have them create it or choose. And I kind of did a March Madness, and I did it every day for, I think, 10 days. And then I had my winner, and now my story views are back up. But allowing people to choose things like yes or no, or what X, da, 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 and then having like 3 or 4 options as an answer. It's a great way just to kind of keep in mind, like, hey, you know, do you use, I'm just going to keep going back to the scheduler. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But do you use a social media scheduler? If you do, which one do you use? And then I could be like Hootsuite, Loomly, Co-Schedule, Other. And then I could go back in and start a whole nother conversation where I have a whole new fresh set of content. Like, studies show that 40% don't even have a scheduler, you know, and this is why, after asking them, you know. So it's a great way for you to establish your own content too.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty good. Like, that's a good, man, all these are good tips. I always say that after you give us a little tip, I'm like, that's a great tip, Katie. I'm going to write it down in my notepad, like a 90-year-old man. So what, I mean, are you always keeping those Q&As about your topic, about your subject, about schedulers, about Instagram? Or are you going like way off topic? Like, what's your favorite birthday cake? Like,
I mean, I try and always keep it somewhat business related, because like, even if it's like entrepreneur, you know, like, how many of you own your own business? How many, you know, like work, how many of you are a realtor? You know, because it helps me if it's not about social media or podcasting, I'm trying to better know my audience so that I can create content that they'll want to consume. I think that with stories, it's a great, the only people that are seeing your stories are people that follow you. So it's really that way of getting to know who your followers are and really get incredible insight, because these people have already signed up to be a part of your world, to be a part of your community. So yeah. If you want to do birthday cake questions, I guess you could. But I mean, for me, social media is all about optimization. How can I get as much bang for my buck on this social network while still building my business? Because I'm not just an influencer. I'm not just a content creator. Like, I have a business to run. So I have to make sure that I'm getting the most bang for my buck out of each and every social media post.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. I was just curious because it seems like if I post something about my niche, meh, sometimes it does okay. But if I post like green beans or carrots, it's like, dude, it just blows up. And I'm like, this makes zero sense at all. I should start a food blog. I don't know. You know? So
it just, you know, Billy, if you want to try and get some more engagement, you know, and bump up to the front with her, you just have to set expectations then of how you're going to show up in your stories. And then again, like if someone new starts following you and they think that, you know, see, so here's a fun fact, 82% of people, when they first start on Instagram, they start in stories. They're not starting in the feed.
Oh, okay.
So if somebody has recently followed you, and they're like, who's Billy Thorpe? I'm going to see him. And he's like, post all these food things. And then they scroll down into the feed and you're sharing like podcast tips. And I'm like, this isn't the guy I thought it was. I don't want any of this. So
that makes sense. All right. So that's a big percentage of people. So if you're not focused on stories, that's probably a good focus. And that's all I've been focusing on. I haven't really done many grid stuff like posts or carousels, which I know I should be, but I'm just so consumed with doing the show and promoting the show and all that. I haven't really been very good at social. I haven't been very good at Instagram.
You should try and show your face in at least one story slide, whether it's a picture or it's you talking. If you're resharing content that shows your face, you need to have that in at least one story slide. You need to try and have one engagement sticker in there somehow. I mean, and then you can show whatever. I don't really care. But I mean, like, yeah. I always like to try and kind of be like, this is what you can expect from me and what you can learn from me and what it's like to be a part of my community.
This is great. This is all great content, Katie, as always. I think we could probably spend the next 45 minutes, continuing going deep diving into each one of these categories. But is there anything else that I didn't put on my little list that you see there that we should talk? I mean, I have giveaways on there. Maybe I think that might even be a whole other show because there's like so much strategy behind doing a giveaway.
There is a big strategy behind giveaways. And yeah, we can talk about that for another show. I'm in the camp of giveaways have to be very, very well thought out because you're going to get a lot of people in there that just want something for free. And then afterwards they're going to bounce. So,
I've been there before. I've done some giveaways that are like, oh, you were not the person I wanted.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, is there anything else, a little tip or trick for engagement that we didn't talk about that you wanted to share?
No, not today. I think that the biggest thing is to start being social on these platforms and whether or not you are posting every day, three times a week, you know, once a week, if you're engaging daily, it's going to help you. It's going to help you be shown to more audiences. And when you do post, those people that you've been engaging with, they're going to head on over to your account too. So pay it forward and do that $1.80 strategy.
I love that dollar. That's a good one. That's a good strategy. And engaging daily. It's going to be a new episode, new show we're going to do. We're going to launch it now. new daily show right after creating daily, engaging daily. So I love it, Katie. Well, thanks so much for, obviously co-hosting this Tuesday episode. I really appreciate it. And going forward, we'll continue to bring some more social media tips and tricks and all that stuff and whatever else we come up with. So it's a lot of fun to have you on. So I really appreciate you.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
And everybody go to Katie's onesheet.pro/Katie-Brinkley. Is that a hyphen or a dash? What do you say?
I guess it's a dash. How'd you get rid of yours? I keep trying to get rid of mine and it keeps putting it back in.
You know what? I know people. All right.
Yeah, maybe I need to reach out to the old Brett there. And
say, hey, Brent, let me look at this. I reach out to them like every other day for like some kind of feature request or some kind of something. I mean, they probably hate me. I'm like,
man, they're probably just like, Billy, just create your own freaking site at this point.
Dude, like, get out of here.
Do it all for you anymore.
but it really is a powerful platform. So if anybody hasn't used it, I know I talk about it all the time, but it literally, that guest booking form really just made my life a ton easier. Like I'm able to go in Clubhouse rooms, talk about it, say, hey, I'm looking for guests. Here's the link, go and apply. And so they can apply and then I can go through and kind of evaluate all the applications and pick and choose who I want to continue a conversation with. So pretty cool. I don't know if it's the best strategy, but like for a daily show, it's the only one I have. So anyway, well, Katie, I really appreciate it. And we'll see you next week.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, everyone, that is it today from Creating Daily from Katie and I. Super amounts of fun. So be sure to find Katie, the Katie Brinkley, like follow her, go to her one sheet, all that fun stuff. Hit that subscribe button as it popped up. I forgot to turn it off. Wherever you're watching, either here on YouTube or on Bullhorn. And join us tomorrow. I'm going to be joined tomorrow by my friend Garish Bali. He does a daily podcast. So I do a daily live stream. He does a daily podcast. We're going to talk about what that looks like to manage a daily show because I think there's this big myth around daily live streaming, daily podcasting that's so tough, it's so enormous, and you're crazy for doing it. And it's still new. I'm still in the honeymoon stage. But so far, maybe I'm just a weirdo, but it's really easier for me than a weekly show. So anyway, we'll compare all those notes tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you tomorrow.